good singing this morning. You may be seated.
A lowly stable stood beneath a lonely star, a rugged manger embraced. God's almighty heart, he came into a world that did not understand. His only purpose was to save the fallen soul of man. Beneath his Father's heaven, hope was born one silent night. Beneath his Father's heaven, a baby brought the truth to light. A baby brought the truth to light. He came unto his own, and they would not receive, but poor and sinful ones glad he heard him and believed. The word of God made flesh, full of truth and of grace. The glory of the Father shining bright upon his face. Beneath his Father's heaven, hope was born one silent night. Beneath his Father's heaven, a baby brought the truth to light. A baby brought the truth to light. Beneath his Father's heaven, hope was born one silent night. Beneath his Father's heaven, a baby brought the truth to light. A baby brought the truth to light. Beneath his Father's heaven, a baby brought the truth to light.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke in chapter 1. Luke and chapter 1. And when you find your place there, if you're able to, if you'd please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke and chapter 1. We'll begin reading down in verse 26. I'll read the even-numbered verses. If you'll join with me and read the odd-numbered verses, we'll read from verse 26 down to verse 33. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. So I'll begin in verse 26. I'll read that through. And when we get to verse 27, if you'll join me, and we'll do that all the way down to verse 33. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says this: "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that gift that you gave to us, your only begotten Son who came down over 2,000 years ago. We're thankful for the life that he lived, and we're thankful that he went to the cross to pay for our sins. We're thankful that he rose from the grave 3 days later. I ask today, as we celebrate that resurrection day and as we come close to when we celebrate his birth, that you would meet with us this morning during this message. Be with Pastor Becker. Use him in a mighty way this morning to help us to speak to our hearts what you want for us and help us to receive it. We'll give you the glory and honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you would take a moment, if you haven't already, and turn your cell phone off or to silent or vibrate, whatever you need to not make noises for us. We would love to hear jingle bells, just not during church. And so that would be a help and a blessing. And as much as you can, just stay seated for a few moments. If you need to leave for medical reasons, things like that, that will be okay. Otherwise, this is the part of the service we came here for the reading of God's Word, the preaching of God's Word. As we open the Bible here in Luke chapter number 1, and we see here in verse number 26, the angel Gabriel came to Mary as they were in Nazareth. She was espoused to Joseph, similar to an engagement, but more of a legal binding agreement, but they had not known each other in a physical manner. And the Bible says that the angel came to Mary and gave her a message. Gave her a message. And the message that the angel came to her and gave was in verse number 28, and he said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. He gave her a message here as we skip down a couple number of verses. And the Bible says in verse number 31, and he says to her, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. What a blessed thought. This Christmas time, Christmas is about Jesus. Amen? I love all the other things about Christmas. I love the lights and the cookies and the cookies and the cookies. I love that. The cookie is part of Christmas. Trying to get that strong in our house that we need some more cookies in the house. And I told my wife I'm going to try to mention that every service until Christmas. Kind of in a joking manner, a little bit serious though. But the angel came to Mary and gave her a message. Gave her a message. We looked last week in Matthew chapter number 1 about the angel coming to Joseph and giving that same message, although separately, the same message that Mary was going to be with child of the Holy Ghost, and they would call his name Jesus. There's no other name more precious than the name of Jesus. Amen? That's the reason we're here today. It's about Jesus. Amen? It's not about Santa and Frosty and all the other stuff. I'm not against those things, but it's about Jesus. He needs to be in his rightful place in our lives. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Amen? Make sure that you make Christmas about Jesus in your home, in your family, with your children. Too many times we make Christmas more about all the other things, but it needs to be about Jesus. And this first Christmas, although we do not believe that Jesus was born on December the 25th, although as I think about that date today, we do celebrate, if not celebrate, but remember the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Today is that Memorial Day 80-some years ago. As a day that for some that is imprinted on your heart and your mind, as maybe some more recent dates are with us, but a day that affected our country in a great way as it has in other ways. My wife and I had the privilege to go and visit the memorial site there in Pearl Harbor earlier this summer, and what a sacred place that is. You think of December 25th, again, we don't believe that's a date that Jesus Christ was actually born, but it's a time when we do celebrate and remember that the Savior was born, amen? And he was born, and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He went in the grave, but thank the Lord, he rose 3 days later, and he is still alive. He's not dead. He's still alive, came to be our Savior. Think about this. As we preached about last week to Joseph and then to Mary, they got a message. a message from the angel that God had chosen this couple, Joseph and Mary, that through them the Savior Jesus Christ would be born, not through the seed of man, but through the seed of the Holy Ghost, perfect. God Himself that came to this earth, the incarnation, Jesus Christ came to be born, and this is, you call His name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, not was, but He is Lord. Amen? A special message that they had. What a message. You ever get a message? Maybe you get a voicemail. Someone sent me a message the other day, and I thought, I cannot understand a word that you're saying. And I had to send a message back and said, I don't know what you said. I'm sure it was good. You ever get a message and you think, I don't know what you said. Can you say that again? You're like, I thought I heard something. Was that right? You get a text and you're like, this is gibberish. Probably because it's a voice text. And you're like, I don't know what it says. Those are scary, by the way. Be careful what you send out before you hit send on those messages. But they got a message. And this message was from God Himself through the angel Gabriel that Jesus Christ would be born through Mary. I want to preach you a message this morning about this message that came to Mary and how we can apply that to our lives. I want you to look at this message as it came to Mary. I want to look at how she received this message. You know, because God's message, I'm thankful that God's message of God's Word is given for every person. Aren't you thankful for that? That God's Word is for every generation, every race, every gender, every person, that God's Word is good for every one of us. Amen? I'm thankful for the Word of God that God has given to us in our lives. But then sometimes God gives a special message to you, a special plan how God wants to use your life. And Mary and Joseph heard this message separately, although the same message that God had given to them. And I want to see, first of all, the testimony of Mary. The testimony of Mary. If you look in verse number 27, that God came, the angel came to Mary in Nazareth as she was espoused. And the Bible says he came to the virgin's name, and it was Mary, the Bible says. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. First of all, this lady Mary, not a perfect person, but she was one that God chose to use. You ever surprised when God chooses to use you? Right? I'm always surprised. Maybe you think, oh, I knew this one was coming. Whenever God has a plan for me, I think, God, why me? I think, God, not somebody else. There must be someone more qualified than me. But God came to Mary and said, and the Bible says it came to this lady Mary. I want to look at why God chose to use Mary, first of all. The testimony that she had. First of all, in verse number 26, it says, and he came, verse number 27, he came to the virgins. The virgin's name was Mary, the Bible says. She was espoused, not married yet, to Joseph. You know that God didn't come down and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I choose Mary. He didn't say, you know, I'll pick you. I'm sure anyone will be good enough. Although she was not perfect, that God chose to use her for a specific reason, for her testimony. First of all, I believe this was needed, that she was a virgin. That she was a virgin. That Jesus Christ did not come from the bloodline of man. Why? Because we have a sinful bloodline. The Bible says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all have a sinful bloodline. But God could only use Mary because she was a virgin. That God chose to use her because she had set herself apart for the Lord and for Joseph. You know, that's something that is still to be desired by young people today. Amen? That should be something desired by young people. Young people are so much promoted to live immoral and wicked lives and to not to save themselves, to be, first of all, following God's Word, but then second of all, to save yourself for your spouse someday. You know, that's the greatest gift that you can give to your spouse someday, that you've been clean, that you've been pure, that you've not been messing around with others. And Mary chose that she was going to keep herself pure. What a great testimony in her life, wasn't it? I believe it was probably the same as it was today. I could not say for sure. But today people are looked down upon because they live a holy life. People are looked down upon because they live a separated life because you're different. You know what? We are called to live a different and a separated life, aren't we, church? To live different. You know, any time that you want, you can choose to live like the world lives. Anytime you want, you could. I do not advise that. It's not right. It's not holy. But to go and undo all the wrong and the sin that is that people have committed in their life. Now, there's no one perfect, but I'm thankful in my life that there's things I can say in my life, God, I've never been there, I've never done that, I've never touched that, because I wanted to live a holy and a separated life. Why? Because I want God to use my life. I want God to use my life. Mary was set apart. She decided to live a holy and a separated life. Not perfect. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Number two, if you look in verse number 7, it says, 27, the virgin was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Thou art highly favored. This word highly favored talks about the grace of God placed upon her in her life. Was she deserving of this title, if you will, to be the mother of Jesus? No, she wasn't worthy of that. But she was highly favored, the grace of God that came upon her. You know why it's not because she was perfect? Because there is no perfect person, all right? You're not perfect. I'm not, and neither was she. But by the grace of God, God looked at her and said, although you are an imperfect person, but you've set yourself apart to do my work, he said, I brought my favor, my grace upon you in your life. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm thankful that the grace of God has come upon my life, first of all, in the area of my salvation. There is no one deserving of the salvation of God. There was no one good enough to say, well, I've earned eternal life because I go to church and I pay my tithes and I'm trying to be a good person. No, because of God's favor upon your life. For by grace are you saved through faith. No one's going to look at you someday. God's not going to look at you and say, oh, because you're so good, because you're better than everybody else. No, but because of the favor of God. Because of the favor of God, Jesus Christ came. Because of the favor, the grace of God, he died on that cross to pay for our sins. Because of the favor of God, he rose again from the grave, and he offers eternal life to all. Amen? That we are highly favored. First of all, by salvation, but by the blessings of God. Can we stop there for a moment and talk about how highly favored and blessed we are by God? It would continue on in a couple more phrases here and said, Blessed art thou among women. Could we stop and say how highly favored and blessed we are by God? Amen? Amen. A couple of rest of you can get some amens in there as well. Appreciate that. But we are highly favored and blessed by God, more than what I ever deserve. See, I deserve a place in hell. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I don't deserve his word. I don't deserve God's blessing of family and favor and life and being in the will of God. But I am highly favored and blessed by the Almighty God of heaven. See, the message that God gave to Mary said, first of all, you're a virgin, set apart. Number two, highly favored and blessed by the Lord. And we truly have been blessed. But the Bible says this also in verse number 28. He says this, and it says, And the Lord is with thee. Amen. The Lord is with thee. Isn't that a great thought? We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. That God is with you. And all that you go through in life to know that God is with you, right? Isn't that a wonderful thought? See, everyone's going to go through the mountains and the valleys. You're going to go through the dark times, the difficult moments. But guess what? But if I know that God is with me, that God is with me in the valleys, going through the shadow of death with me, do you know that God is with you today? The testimony that Mary had, that God is with her. Not to be worshipped, but she's an example of a godly testimony in her life. Number two, we see that not only did she have a godly testimony, but then number two, she was troubled. Look at verse number 29. It says, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled. I can imagine if an angel came to you, you might be a little troubled and think, what did I do? Right? Kind of like when the teacher calls a student to the office or the principal and says, I need to talk to you. What do you think? I'm in trouble. The boss says, I need to talk to you for a moment. Mom and dad say, I need to speak to you in the room for a minute. And you maybe get a little troubled and you think, what did I do? What excuse can I come up with? Who can I blame it on? Blame it on your sister, all right? Just go for it. But she was troubled at the message. And what did the angel say to her in verse number 30? When she was troubled, when she had fear about the message from the Lord. In verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. Fear not. How many times has God come to us with a message? God comes to us with a plan. God comes to us with something that He wants for us to do in our life. And we said, Oh God, but I can't do that. Oh God, but who am I? And we have fear in our life. But God says, Fear not, Mary. See, God had chosen her. God chose her. You know that God has chosen to use you as well. Amen? That again, it's not like, well, Mary was attaining of something. Not everyone would have Jesus Christ to be born, of course. But God chooses to use you in this day and age. God chooses to use you as a testimony to others. But many times when God gives us a message, we come troubled and say, God, I can't do that. Time out. Pick somebody else. I don't want to do that. I quit. I'm thankful that Mary didn't quit on the Lord. Although she had fear, the angel came to her and said, Fear not. She was troubled at the message. The Bible says in in Psalm 56, verse number 3, it says, What time I am afraid. Right? You ever been there? What time I am afraid. Listen to this, though. I will trust in thee. Amen? What time I am afraid. You know, people have phobias and fears, and you think, well, what are you afraid of that for? I don't know why, because we have different fears, all right? All right, I have a fear of speaking in public. I chose the wrong profession, all right? And God, that was God's choice. It wasn't mine, all right? But you say, God, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. God, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. See, there's times where I'm afraid, but I know this, that I can trust the Lord. When God comes to you with a message, just trust God. Isaiah 41:10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Amen? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for what? I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When you're troubled, you go to the Lord. When you're troubled, when you're in fear, you can go trust in the Lord. Too many times we run away. We quit, we try to pass it to someone else, and God said, No, I've chosen you. Are you willing to trust in the Lord? Number three is say this, not only was she troubled, but again, we talked about it a bit, but she trusted in God. In verse number 38, we'll skip down a little bit, and God gave her the plan and said that she would be placed with the seed from the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, upon her. And Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, was with child, and her child would be born 6 months earlier, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And as she told him this plan, she went to be with her. Look at verse number 38, though. And the Bible says, let's go back to verse number 37. And this was in relation to Elizabeth, but it says this, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what? She had a testimony, not perfect. She was troubled and she had some fear. But in the end, she said, she maybe kind of thought, God, why'd you choose me? But she just said, I'm just going to trust God. And she said in verse number 38, she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She said, I'm your servant. Amen? She said, I'm your servant. Whatever you want, God, it's your life. I've given my life to you. I'm your servant. And she says this, Be it unto me according to thy word. How many times do we argue with God? How many times does God say, I have a plan? You say, God, hold on a second. I don't know if I agree to your plan. I have another plan. Well, God, what about this? What if I try a plan B? Because I don't know if I... Mary said, Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, God has a plan for your life. You know that? God has a plan for your life. First of all, it's a matter of salvation. Do you know for sure? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your only way of salvation? Christmas time, we'll put gifts under the Christmas trees, but the greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ. The example we get of giving a gift at Christmas time is that example of buying a gift for someone that you love. And for God so loved the world that He gave. Amen? His only begotten Son. And you must receive that free gift of eternal life. And you must trust in Him as your only way of heaven. Not one way to heaven, not one of many ways, but the only way to heaven, trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Have you trusted in Him for your salvation? after you trust in him with your salvation, why don't we trust God with our lives? It's amazing how many times people say, I trust you with my eternity. I trust you that you'll save my soul from hell and I'll have a home in heaven. I trust you with that, God, but I don't trust you with my everyday life. Right? I don't trust you with my job or my family or your plan for my life. Do you trust the Lord? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Are you trusting in God today? Christian, so I trust God with my eternity, but what about this situation in my life? You can trust God. You can trust God. You say, God, be it according to thy word. How many times we doubt, we fear, we question, we run from God. We say, God, I've got another idea, but how about we just trust God? We trust God. I'll finish with this last point today. Look at verse number 46. Just a moment. I'll finish the preaching. Thank you. All right. Verse number 46. And Mary said this. Look at her testifying. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Amen. Mary didn't say, well, look at what God chose me to do. Did God choose you to do? Oh, look at what God has planned for me. She didn't get herself a big head and get a name tag of all that God had for her. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. See, when God chooses to use you, you don't look at how big and how great you are. You look at how big and how great he is. Amen? My soul doth magnify the Lord. It says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So first of all, she said, I magnify the Lord. Number two, she said, I rejoice in God my Savior. Amen? When you magnify God, you have to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? You've got to rejoice in the Lord. All you're testifying, it's going to come out. That we talk of his wondrous works, we rejoice in the Lord. It says this, why? In verse number 48, for he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. She thought, I'm not anything special. I'm not anything great. God chose to use me. She magnified God because she knew who she really was. She's a sinner like you and I, although set apart for the work of God. But she said, he's regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And he that is mighty, look at this, hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She didn't go and say, look at the great things that I've done. Look at all that I've done in my life. She didn't start tooting her own horn about how good she was. You know, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. We get too many self-praise today, how good we are. You know, when you put yourself on a pedestal, there's only one place to go, and that's down, right? But when you lift Christ up, amen? When you lift Christ up, when you magnify the Lord, when you rejoice in Christ and how great things he hath done for me, and then she said this, holy is his name. Amen? Holy is his name. God chose to use Mary. Gave her a message that God said, I want to use you. I want to use you. Again, how many times has God come to your doorstep, comes to your heart and says, God said, I want to use you. What's your response? What's your response? Too many times they say, well, I've got another way. I'm too busy. I've got another plan. But what about, how about we just say, yes, Lord. How about we just say, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you want to do with my life, it's your life to begin with. I'm your servant. And magnify Christ. Why? Because he hath done great things, hasn't he? Has he done great things in your life? You can go back in your life and you can look back. And I could imagine, as is with your life, as with mine, I look back at the great things God has done with my life. Right? That God gave me life. Amen? That God saved my soul. You go back to the day of your salvation. Thank God, what a great thing you've done in my life. A child of God, born again, on my way to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that great thing you've done in my life. For my family, for the Word of God, for this church, for all that God has done for me. Who am I to lift myself up and think, God, I've done something great? Who am I to lift myself up and think, look what I have done? But we should go back to the Lord and say, look at what great things he hath done, mighty things and great things he hath done, and say, holy is his name. Church, would you magnify Christ today? First of all, let me ask you a couple of questions is this. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure? Do you know by faith in Jesus Christ alone that if he were to die today, that you'd have a home in heaven? Do you know that? It's not through religion. It's not through good works. You don't get eternal life by saying a special prayer and even by reading scripture. But you know this, that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. In Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a one-time moment in your life. By faith, you call out to God. Say, God, I'm not good enough to get there on my own, but I'm thankful that you are good enough and you paid my full payment of salvation on the cross. Do you know that you're saved? Number two, after you've trusted in Christ with your salvation, what about giving God your life? What about giving God your life? Too many times we're holding on. We're holding on. You ever do that with your child and say, hey, can I have a chip? Can I have a bite? Can I have something? Now, you better be careful, because if you offer it, they might actually give it to you. And if they give it to you, probably you're supposed to take a bite or a lick, so be careful what you ask for. There's times where I say, can I have one? They go, no. And I'm like, hey, I paid for those. We bought those. We put them in the cupboard. I put them in the little baggie for you to eat. And you're going to say no? Yeah. You're like, give me that whole bag. I'm eating them at all now. Maybe that's not the right way to do it. That's the dad way to do it, maybe. But I say, hey, but I gave that to you. How many times does God say, hey, I've saved you. I've given you life. I've saved your soul, a home in heaven. And God said, I'd like to use your life. And we say, no, it's mine. You can't have it, but I'm busy. God said, but I've chosen to use you. Would you say yes to the Lord? Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Jesus Christ came to be born.